petty little concept in the universal.
All right.
Marathon itself is a flat circle, and it keeps coming back onto itself, and that's all there really is. Step back far enough from it, you'll see that's all we are. And it's hopeless. Life is essentially hopeless. So why not come to the marathon? Because for $40, you can have hope for 24 hours.
We've been recording since you started doing the Matthew McConaughey impression.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to start? Most anticlimactic. Not even preparing you for the beginning.
Yeah.
That was me slurping my Mountain Dew. Okay.
And here we go.
Action.
Hey there, Kevin Carr. Good to see you again. Boy, it's been a long time since we've talked marathon.
Shock around the clock, 666th annual 24-hour horror marathon.
Yeah.
This is the last podcast we have before the event actually happens.
This is the ultimate podcast, if you will. Yes.
Yeah.
We are.
Last one was the penultimate podcast.
We're a mere hop, skip, and a jump away from October 18th, and lots of insanity for one full rotation of the planet.
That's right. Now, we have talked about all the movies they're going to be showing.
Ad nauseum, almost.
Yeah.
I think we've covered the lineup in every possible way we could, except for, like, weird, you know, alternative theories about meanings and things. And we've even done that a bit. So,
we talked about The Shining. We talked about Room 237.
I think it's more review at this point.
All right. So just a reiterate, tell us about this event.
This event.
Joe Neff.
Yeah, if you are tuning into this podcast for the first time, go back and listen to the other ones because they're way more informative than this one. And we'll wait until you go back and do that. Okay.
So tell us about the event. What's happening here? You're already done. You're like, are we done yet?
Haven't you been listening along the whole time? Jeez, this is like part five?
Part five or six? Like
yeah, it's like it's like coming in at Halloween part six and saying you haven't seen part one.
You are in for a sorry state of affairs.
All right, here we go. I'm going to get myself pumped up here.
Let's go.
The spiel. It is Shock Around the Clock. The 666th annual Ohio 24-hour horror marathon. Noon Saturday, October 18th, that's just a week plus away, until noon Sunday, October 19th, at the Drexel Theater, beautiful downtown Bexley, 2254 East Main Street here
picturesque
in Columbus, Ohio, right across from bucolic Capital University. The films, briefly, and we'll probably cover a little ground, but just the sizzle reel. The new 4K restoration of Tobe Hooper's original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the Ohio premiere of the festival smash hit, the New Zealand haunted house comedy Housebound, the Ohio premiere of this amazing, mind-blowing, psychedelic, erotic Italian film tribute, The Strange Color of Your Body's Tears, Mike Olenek, or Olenek, I can never figure out how to say his name, and I know him really well.
I was going to say, can't you just...
Well, his Facebook profile is Mike O, like O-H-H-H-H, so I just think of him as that now.
Well, maybe he's doing it like in Halloween. I mine's Kevin Frankencar.
Even his friends refer to him as Mike O. No, he's always had Mike O-H-H-H-H, yeah. So Mike O, or Olenek presents the Ohio premiere.
I don't know if he spells the burp in the middle of it at some point.
The Ohio premiere. Presents the Ohio premiere of his new 25-minute horror short, Red Luck. He will be there. He will do a Q&A afterwards. I think some of the cast and crew will be there, too.
My first question in the Q&A, how do you pronounce your last name?
And I'll say, yes, many of us have been wondering that for a long time. I think it's, from what I know, it's Olenek, which is how I originally produced it. My partner in crime.
You produced it?
Yeah. Oh, did I say that?
You said that. You said produced it, which is kind of amazing.
I produced Mike Olenek. He is my son, actually. Mm. No, I will blame this all on my partner in crime, Bruce Bartu, because years ago he started referring to him as Olenek, and I think I picked that up. But when he's appeared at the Wexner Center for some of his other things he's directed, they have introduced him as Mike Olenek. The mystery continues.
Is this sort of like how you say Peter Capaldi's name?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Mike will be there, and he will be talking a lot, and Red Luck is really strange and cool and kind of a neat experience to have We also have what could quite possibly be the only time in your life you will see a 35 millimeter print.
Millimeter
print of the long, long lost Zoltan Spencer erotic Satanism film, The Satanist.
The Satanist.
Or The Satanist.
Somebody who makes sheets for a living.
You also get to see the restored final cut of the original The Wicker Man.
Yes.
Very rare 35mm screening of The Manitou, which is one of the strangest major studio horror releases of all time.
Mm-hmm.
A new digital restoration of Werner Herzog's Nosferatu, The Vampire. And I believe this is the German version, which is also known as Nosferatu, Phantom der Nacht.
Well, isn't all of them the German version? I mean, it's...
No,
it's
as in German language.
Oh, yeah, subtitles.
Yeah, subtitles.
Okay.
Dario Argento's sleek, gory, modernist masterpiece, Tenebrae.
Mm-hmm.
The Shining.
Wait, I've never heard of that one.
I haven't either. I hear it's pretty good. Demons by Lamberto Bava, the son of Mario Bava, one of the great 80s gore fests. The original James Whale directed The Invisible Man,
mm-hmm.
and Adam Wingard's very, very, very underrated home invasion thriller, You're Next.
Do we know what order they're going to show in yet? Or are you willing to release that?
I have a pretty good idea, but I wait till next week.
Can I make a guess? Wait till next week. We're not going to have the podcast next week.
Well, go on the website. Sure. Go on the internet.
Is your next going to be last?
No.
No?
No. Okay. In fact, I'll say this. There's a very good chance it'll be first.
Oh, okay. Okay. Texas Chainsaw last.
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could just go through and ask every single one.
Wicker Man last? Satanist last? Shining last? Demons last?
The Manitou's going to be playing at 3 a.m. because that is the time to play the Manitou.
Probably not.
No?
No. I would say Manitou will play sometime in the first half.
Okay.
Because my worry with...
The Shining, is that going to be up early?
My worry with the crowd we have is that if we show the Manitou too late, they'll like it, but they'll be politely appreciative of it.
Well, you know, it's kind of like Inframan. Nice. At one of the sci-fi marathons, they showed Inframan at like 5 in the morning and it just did not go over well. And then this last sci-fi marathon, they showed it... It was like midnight-ish, right?
It was like 8 o'clock or
8 o'clock.
O'clock.
Okay,
yeah.
And it went over like gangbusters.
It went over quite well, yeah. Yeah, I think the Manitou is the type of film you want to show early.
Mm, okay.
So,
you'd start with Invisible Man, wouldn't you? Invisible Man. Don't you always start with like the oldie but goodie?
Always, no.
But it might be number two.
Invisible Man. There's a good chance it might play late this year.
Really?
Yeah. Just because of some other things. Well, here's the deal. We wanted to play Nosferatu in the first half.
Well, you kind of have to.
It's a great, great film, but it's really, really deliberately paced.
Atmospheric, deliberately paced foreign film probably does not play well at 4 in the morning.
And so that kind of dictated, okay, if we put that somewhere early, what do we put with that to provide some context? So normally Invisible Man might play early, but I think it might play quite late. But it's only about 70 minutes, and it's sort of funny, too, so it should...
It does get a little goofy.
It does get a little goofy, yeah.
See, I bought over a couple weeks ago, I bought the, and you can see it right up there, the Magical Studio in the Sky.
Can everybody see it right there?
Right there.
Close your eyes and just imagine.
Universal Classic Monsters box set.
Yes.
The 30 film collection. It's not the Blu-rays, but the Blu-rays are ridiculously overpriced and not worth it. I mean, in my opinion.
They are overpriced, yeah.
I mean, if the most important thing is to get the movies on Blu-ray... Yeah, I guess it's worth the price. They had it recently come down to like 50, but I got this thing for less than 90 on Amazon.
That's not bad.
It's a really good price. So I'm working my way through all of them.
Yeah, you would think.
In order of release. So I skipped The Invisible Man because I know I'm going to see it at the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on, I just watched Dracula's Daughter.
Oh, yeah.
The other day, which is an interesting, that's sort of the, I on Twitter, I referred to it as sort of like the lesbian answer to Bride of Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
whereas Bride of Frankenstein has all the homosexual
elements
to it.
This is what I was going to ask. I saw that on Twitter. Okay, you mentioned you had made one error. You said Bride of Frankenstein with its homosexual undertones, and I would say undertone.
Under, yeah.
Wait, it's like overtones. Have you? Yeah, Ernest Thysiger as Dr. Pretorius.
Well, yeah, he's a little.
It's not exactly underplayed. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, there's other. Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff. You know, the whole gay marriage. Discussion between the blind
man. Oh, Dr. Frankenstein. Yeah. It'll be our ultimate project we have together. Keep away from that woman.
Well, but there's also the whole scene with the blind man and Frankenstein, and they have a very unconventional relationship and friends. Not Frankenstein, the monster.
I guess so.
That's what a lot of people say. And there's literally a scene where the Frankenstein monster's laying down, and the old man is praying over him, it does not look like he's praying.
Did you know when Barry
it certainly does not?
Did look you know like when Barry Nelson gets up in The Shining, he has a dark penis coming out of his.
Yes.
Pants. Did you
There's
know that?
There's penises all over the place in The Shining.
Yeah.
I even in the response to our response, you would put on the message board asking about our experiences with The Shining and how I showed my kids. When I was pointing out the stuff. My favorite penis in that movie is Winnie the Pooh's.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The giant ladder from and then from like that point on, they're finding penises and everything.
Join us next week on... Chapter 6 of Bad Dad Chronicles, starring Kevin Carr as Bad Dad. Yeah.
Holy Stephen Collins.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, too, this sometimes gets undersold as part of the event. The marathon. Yeah. Marathons.
The marathon.
But costume contest.
Yes. Speaking of a marathon.
$100 first prize. You get $100. You get the big check. You get some other cool prizes. And we have a ton of cool prizes we get every year for that. Comic books, posters, things like that. Supposedly, we're getting... at last check, we're getting a whole big shipment of posters from the movie Annabelle, of masks from the movie Annabelle, of posters from the upcoming third Hobbit film.
Wait, masks? Annabelle masks?
Yeah, supposedly. Supposedly. That's, as of last check, that is, those are being sent along the way. Plus...
I feel pretty confident because me and my kids have the best costume ever. I don't know if we're going to win, because I don't know if everyone's going to agree with us that it's the best costume ever.
I can't help you on that.
I think you'll.
Are you asking me to fix the costume?
No,
contest?
I'm just telling you that we're preparing.
If you give me the $100, I'll fix it.
No, you won't. What am I going to do? Say, well, Joe, I gave you $100.
Sure.
I already bought three tickets.
Anyway.
$120 for me.
People sometimes ask about the costume contest. Do I have to come in costume? Do we have time? Usually we have it around the third or fourth movie during that intermission. A lot of times people will. Figure that out. We post the official schedule the week of, and then they'll change during the break or something like that. However, if you want to come in costume, we have had people do that before, and it is a lot of fun because that's kind of part of the whole fun of this event, because it's a Halloween event, and all the marathons are about the crowd, but you know, this is if we encourage you, if you want to come dressed up as whatever you want to, and if you want to have that in as part of the costume contest, that's cool. The other question people ask sometimes is, oh, well, I don't have a good costume. Well, let me tell you, Jack. There is a long, long, long fruitful history at both marathons of people either placing very well or winning the costume contest with no traditional costume.
Literally pulling it out of their ass.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. There was that. Yeah, that was painful and hard to clean up after.
The big check was a pain. Yeah.
It is very much about how you sell it to the crowd. Over the years, there have been people with spectacular costumes. Granted, this applies a little bit more to the Drexel North days because the theater was bigger, but there have been people with spectacular costumes that are so intricately detailed, they're beautiful when you're 2 feet away like I am. But 10 rows back, you just see someone with a decent costume and they don't know how to sell it. Alternately, there are people who have literally come up with no costume and just a concept saying, the famous one I always go back to is saying, hey, there's four guys. Hey, we're the four guys who get killed at the beginning of the film. Yeah. And they sold it really well, and people loved it, and they eventually won the whole thing.
Well, and the other way the costume contest works is you have like usually about three rounds.
Yes, yeah.
And you can nail it on that first round, and if you got no follow-up, you can't just say, I'm still this,
unless you are a scantily clad woman.
Well, yeah.
And sometimes a kid.
True.
Famously, there was a kid back in 2000 at the Drexel Grandview who dressed up as the Terminator, and all he had to do was get up each round and say, I'm the Terminator, and people loved him.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I it was funny, as I went to high school with a girl who won, it must have been like, it was way, way, way back in the Drexel North days. It would have been like 1989-ish, before you were there. And I, 1 year, my son Liam won the sci-fi costume contest, the 1 year that you didn't have the big check.
Yes.
So... but what was funny is I posted pictures of that and my friend Meg, she commented on, she's like, I remember winning that costume. I'm like, yeah, you came as a French maid.
Oh.
And you just showed nothing but
love. Oh, she was the French maid. I've heard about the French maid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a tape where they talk about the French maid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was actually.
She was all leg.
That was a good example. That year was actually, it was 1991 because. French maid won.
Uh-huh.
Or no, wait. French maid was French maid, did she win or was she second?
I think she was up there.
Well, I remember that third place Oh, no, no. Okay, here's what it was. 1991, guy dressed as Alex from A Clockwork Orange won.
Yeah.
Second place was French Maid.
Yeah.
Third place, I believe it was third place, was either The Faulty Condom or Frankenhooker. Now, you know, here's the odd story, and we have this on a tape somewhere of these two being interviewed.
Yeah.
Frankenhooker, girl dressed as Frankenhooker, and guy dressed as Alex from Clockwork Orange were dating at the time.
Oh, wow.
And they do an interview with her afterwards, and you look at her costume, and it's, well, it's awesome. It's like, it's a phenomenal, and Frankenhooker had only played at the marathon the year before. And
yeah.
Aside from not having the purple wig, everything else about the costume is dead on, and it's amazing that she didn't win, and she, you could tell afterwards she could play the part. The audience can be fickle sometimes, and the guy who played Alex, I mean, he kind of, you know, sang Singing in the Rain, and he really played it, and the audience...
He played it up.
Of,
he was a good showman.
They glommed onto it, you know, and they got that. So it is kind of a crapshoot, but that's the beauty of it, too. Sometimes the crapshoot can be good. Last year, the winner was a guy dressed up as... Two guys, actually. One dressed up as Father Marin from The Exorcist, and the other guy, his friend, had a life-size rag doll who was supposed to be Regan McNeil, and he... played her, quote-unquote, lifted her up under a sheet for the levitation scene, had her shoot out Silly String as the green puke. And when they were in line, I thought, oh, I don't know, these guys, this looks pretty traditional. And we had just played The Exorcist, the film, it was either right before or we played it right after. Crowd loved them. They ate it up. And they played it really well. So there are many ways to go about this. And that's $100, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not chump change. I'm sure everybody would love to. And we give it to you. We actually do, little known fact, we give that $100 to you in cash at the event. We also give you...
You don't have to take the giant check to U.S. Bank have them endorse it.
Yeah, please.
if it has a legitimate banking and routing number on it, it's...
Does it have a legitimate routing number? I'm trying to think about that.
I do not think it has a legitimate routing number. Because you could literally, if it was that, you could, and there was a bank account, you could go cash it. You can cash a check on anything.
Technically,
as long as
they then go back and see Bartu Neff Worldwide. I wonder which company is this money coming from?
Well, it has to exist.
Yes, yeah.
But I guess if you didn't, you could be maybe charged with passing a bad check. Of course, who would take that case?
Going to jail.
Just show the exhibit A.
Lionel Hutz.
Ridiculously enormous check.
Better call Saul for that one, kids.
Better call
Saul. Man, the sun, this is depressing, and the sun is coming up finally outside after this marvelously rainy day, and I was about to just junk the whole podcast because the real news is Twin Peaks is back, and I don't know why we should keep talking about the marathon if Twin Peaks is back.
I don't know. I mean, well, it's not back. You got 2 years until it comes back.
That's back, baby.
Here's the thing.
David Lynch, no talk unless Twin Peaks back, okay?
This was my comment, and I said this on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, I saw it on Twitter.
I saw
what you said.
Oh, you were on Twitter?
It was bullshit.
I thought you hated it.
Of the highest order.
It is bullshit. I did not.
Well, okay, here's what I will say to
let me say it first. You're
Can
gonna
I say
respond
it?
To me.
Those
fine.
Of you looking for closure from Twin Peaks coming back will
answers.
Have to remember how much closure and answers you got from Firewalk with me.
Basically.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I think the Twin Peaks fandom, most of the fandom that stuck with it gets that about the show. And it's pretty common knowledge they didn't want to give any final answers to the show, and they just had to because of the network. So, I don't know. Yeah. Answers, closure, that's a limited concept, I think, in Twin Peaks.
Okay,
in a town like Twin Peaks,
wow, you are defensive
there is
about
no
Twin
closure.
Peaks.
How about that?
You're defensive about
David,
it.
If you're listening out there, or Mark Frost, I want that to be the tagline for the show. In a town like Twin Peaks... It was what? The original show was In a Town Like Twin Peaks, Everyone Has a Secret. I want the new one to be In a Town Like Twin Peaks, There Is No Closure.
I'll be very curious to see how they handle it because not everybody has aged as well as they could.
No.
Pretty much. That's everybody.
As Kyle MacLachlan.
That's pretty much actually, everybody.
Actually, you know what? Manchin Amick, she has aged pretty well.
But she's still in her 40s. I mean, she's. But I saw her in Gossip. Was she on Gossip Girl or something? She was on some show.
She was on Mad Men for one episode. Yeah, she was a former girlfriend of Don Draper's.
I mean, she's attractive, but she's like sort of in serious MILF territory at that point.
Yeah,
I'm just saying she was just. I mean,
well, they did say
to steal from how Martin Lawrence put it. You know,
this could never
Twin
go wrong.
Peaks, she's sort of, and now she's kind of like.
Frost did say that they're going to set it in present times.
I hope they don't set it 20 years ago. Be like, Jesus Christ, Audrey, what happened?
No, well, and there's
and I say that as an unabashed Sherilyn.
Well, there's been a lot of people who have died, too. So they'll have to... For me, it's like you get Kyle MacLachlan back. That's the main draw. That's the focus of the whole show.
And anyway, you can get Ray Wise with his white hair.
I bet Ray Wise would do it. He's talked about it enough. Yeah. I mean, in this whole press tour for the Blu-ray set, Ray Wise was one of the most enthusiastic people there. I've joked with a friend of mine who's a hardcore, long-term Twin Peaks fan. He and I kind of got into the show at the same time.
Yeah.
I watched it when it came out originally. But then I missed out on season two, and he got into it when Bravo rebroadcast all the episodes. So I rekindled my fandom around that time. And I said, oh, wait, they'll do it like Arrested Development, the Netflix season. They'll bring everybody back, but it'll only be each episode will focus on one character. So you'll get like Ray Wise sitting there smiling creepily for an hour. You'll get James Marshall trying to pitch that goofy song that he sings in season two with Laura Flynn Boyle
is
and
Michael,
Fenn, or Cheryl Lee.
Is Michael Ancine
Michael
still alive?
Michael Ancine comeback, bitch. You
he,
betcha.
He is still alive?
Oh, he was in The Descendants, the George Clooney film.
Oh.
Probably one of my most excited moments was seeing Michael Ancine as one of his brothers. And Ancine does what he does in Twin Peaks, which is look bemused and slightly confused throughout the entire thing. If Michael Ancine doesn't come back...
The dwarf is still around, isn't he?
Michael Anderson is still alive, as far as I know. Although I heard that he...
The log lady. I even asked somebody, is the log lady even alive?
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, the people who've died from Twin Peaks, there are going to be people listening to this podcast right now who, at this point, seriously say, where the hell did this go?
Are they showing anything about Twin Peaks? No, nothing.
We almost did, though. That's a big reveal right there. I will reveal that as a side tangent. We really wanted to get
really.
I sound like
my son. Really, when he's like three.
Do you know who Haskell Wexler is? The famous cinematographer.
No.
You never saw Tell Them Who You Are, the documentary as a film critic. You never saw that.
No.
Haskell Wexler was.
I don't bother with dumb documentaries. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I just haven't seen it.
Man, Haskell finds that out. He's aged now, but he'll come.
He'll come
and kick
just
your
like
ass.
Stephen King was supposed to come after me a while back.
Oh, they're both.
And Werner Herzog.
And Werner Herzog. So Haskell Wexler, one of the legendary cinematographers of the '60s, he directed Medium Cool. He shot Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I'm blanking now on some of the other films, but he brought this real rough edge documentary feel to a lot of the films he shot. Richard Burton originally didn't want him to be the DP on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf because he was afraid he'd make Burton look old and show all the pockmarks on his face. But Elizabeth Taylor famously defended him and said, "No, that's what you need because you have to look haggard in this film. You have to look like you're run down." And Haskell,
such an ironic discussion going on.
There is a method to the madness here. So
I mean, wasn't she the one who famously was shot for her White Diamonds ad filter that was
so.
That you well, couldn't see shit?
Years later. Haskell, there was a documentary called Tell Them Who You Are that Haskell's son, Mark, who shoots a lot of corporate PR stuff.
Yeah.
He does a documentary on Haskell, and a lot of his famous friends talk about him, talking head stuff. But really, the documentary is about Mark and Haskell trying to reconcile their relationship, because Haskell's such a flaming 60s radical still, and Mark is this guy who's kind of get along to go along. And it's a really cool documentary. The reason I got on this whole stupid side tangent is because there is a great documentary that all of you should probably watch called Visions of Light. It's all about cinematography. It was made back in...
Watch it. You have a week and a half. Yeah, come on.
It's out of print on DVD, but I own the DVD if you'd like to rent it for like $30. I'll rent it to you.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's not popular enough to be found on YouTube or Vimeo.
Hey, we don't support piracy here, Jack, okay? You can have your little internet crime wave that you want to take part in. I support the working man.
Sounds like the worst updated Ed Wood movie ever. Internet crime wave with the Racket Girls. Movies all over.
Before anyone out there in radio land says, where is this going? Oh, God, make it stop. So in the documentary, Haskell Wexler has this line where he's talking about some project he shot. And he says something like, when I hear that, and he stretches out like his E, says, when I hear that, I have. And so every time I do that now, I feel like I'm somehow, I've seen the documentary enough that I'm subconsciously channeling Haskell Wexler for one film. And that's every single time I do that, when I talk, when I go, when it's really there, it's like the spirit of Haskell Wexler, even though he's not dead, is like, welling up inside me. Right, welling up inside me, see?
Sounds like, you sound like a bad Woody Allen impression at that point. Yeah. It's welling up inside me.
It has. But we really, really wanted to get Twin Peaks Fire Walk with me for the marathon this year because it is the 25th anniversary of the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't quite make it work in the way we wanted to. And we're still going to try because I think, especially now that the show is coming back, it would be a cool film to watch again with an audience. Now, I know that's violating rule number one, which is don't tell them what you don't have. Tell them what you do have. But we're all about breaking rules here, man.
It's okay,
we're on an internet crime wave.
It's okay to do that because we already told them what we did.
We did. We did.
Because, you know, it's unlike I had a boss once who at the end of a project, we bought her a gift. And then she was like, oh, thank you so much. And then continued to tell us what she didn't get us.
Yes.
She saw all these great gifts that were perfect for us but never bought.
This is called a tease.
Yeah.
Coming up. Next year's marathon, a film many of you have wanted to see. Tune in next year, and you'll find out what it is.
Or maybe
and
not.
And now, word from our sponsor, DraftKings.com. Or not.
It's okay.
You don't have a sponsor for your podcast yet. I'm
don't. Ashamed. This Nobody's going to pay
I mean,
for this
No,
nonsense.
No. I mean, this is when on most podcasts you come in and say, we want to keep this podcast free here at Marathon Chat. And so we want you to patronize DraftKings.com. Or have you ordered through online flowers?
Yeah, you know how you're pulling the veil back on certain things of maybe next year? I'm going to pull the veil back on podcasts. When you hear people say that, this is what they're actually saying. Well, we're going to totally be keeping this free. And because it's free, we're going to have you listen to this ad that we don't actually get any money for. And if you end up going and buying something and putting in a code, on the rare chance that the one person might do this, we'll get 58 cents.
Do you need life advice? Are you confused about things?
I need
perhaps life tutoring. Visit joneff.org.
Are you a life coach now?
I am. Yes.
It does not say so on your Twitter profile.
That's not my Twitter profile, man. Man.
It does not say so on your Facebook
profile. Let me
tell
you, man. I'm officially today announcing I am now a life coach. If anyone out there would like me, my rate is $35 an hour. I will come to your house and pet you on the head and say, things will be cool. Now go out and achieve. And then I will turn around and say, but let me tell you.
Put down the
I don't even
light.
Know. I don't even know why you try, because life is a flat circle.
Oh, my God. You're channeling Matthew McConaughey again?
It's all about just...
How many people are coming out of your mouth? Whoa, did I say that wrong? There's a party in Joe's mouth.
Do you speak,
everybody's coming.
Do you speak in tongues? Are you possessed? Well, it is quite appropriate for our possession, our mini possession theme we have for the marathon.
Is that what the is that the theme?
Oh, yeah, the 666, and we have lots of demonic imagery and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so yeah, we really wanted to get Twin Peaks Fire Walk with me, but maybe next year we will.
Tough shit, people.
Make that happen. Tough shit. You'll watch the films you have and you'll like it.
What's this, a picture of the Scream All Night? There's a, I recognize.
Oh, that's the great Daria Nicolodi, who was Dario Argento's lover at the time / companion.
Is that from Tenebrae?
From Tenebrae, yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Tenebrae.
He's looking at the flyer,
by the
way.
Over the Tenebrae picture.
And there's another picture.
Are you allowed
Tenebrae
to do that?
What's going to happen, huh? What?
I don't know.
Is Tenebrae going to come sue us?
The marathon police will come after you. All right, so we talked about the costume contest.
Oh, yeah.
So the costume contest is happening,
yep.
And there will be time to change or improve your costume before coming on.
And the Scream contest.
And the Scream contest, but no $100 first prize.
No $100 first prize, but if I may so give a free plug to our buddies down in Centerville, Ohio.
Epic Loot. Yes.
They have donated so many prizes, and they're so good. Like, I feel bad giving away some of the things to lesser non-placing contestants, because the people, it used to be if you like got voted out in the first round, you got a hat from The Fog, the remake. Now you get like a really nice graphic novel. So they donate prizes that are so awesome. You're almost guaranteed to get something halfway decent. And if you win or place first,
if you just drag your sorry ass up front.
Yeah, if you place first, second, or third in any of these, you'll probably get a decent haul of some pretty cool geeky type stuff.
Yeah.
So there's your plug for that. And we hope, God, every year we hope that we can finally reinsert a few impromptu contests, because we've done those in the past and those are always fun.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, lots of stuff to give away, lots of contests, prizes, hilarity, caffeine-induced dementia. The mug. Should I talk about the mug?
Yeah, let's talk about coffee, because I'm going to start talking and asking you about the food and the concessions, as I always do every year, just to see if there's anything.
Let's talk about coffee, because I like coffee. if it's not obvious enough already from my manic
Well, when I when
tone.
We did our marathon and you came by,
you know who else
you
likes
were,
coffee?
You were demanding coffee, but you brought your own and then you didn't have any of the stuff that we had.
You know who else likes coffee? FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper. He likes coffee black as midnight.
And damn fine cherry pie.
On a moonless night. And damn fine cherry pie.
Oh, I don't. I can't drink black coffee. It's because I'm a racist, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I've witnessed it. It's sad, pathetic, and all too predictable. But
I do like coffee. But this is funny. It's in the ceramic mug, which I think are cool. I just would never drink that.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, because
there's nowhere to put them. Really, they're not.
Yeah, I know.
You know what you need to do?
We need to start a Kickstarter and get coffee mug holders attached to the marathon.
Well, no,
seats.
What you do is you just get like a you should see if you can buy something that's like a rubber thing they can put on the bottom that will then have a lower part that'll fit into there.
An inverted nipple?
Yeah, sort of like, yeah, it's maybe like a, call it the coffee condom.
Wow, that's so crazy, it just might work. Actually, shock around the clock coffee condoms, another dollar, and you can have yours to take home.
See, there you go. That, fits in yeah. the Drexels.
That'll be our Waterloo right
there.
They're
little holes in the seats that don't fit anything.
We'll invest so heavily in coffee condoms that
it'll be like the
it'll
gravity
destroy
balloons.
The marathon. Yes, yes. Okay, so for those of you who have never been to a marathon before, and you know what, every year we get a decent amount of people who've never been before, even just seeing online people saying I've never been and I'm finally making it. Okay, yeah. So we do, obviously there's an expanded concession stand, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that in a minute, but we also sell some things, some memorabilia you can take home. I feel like I'm on the Home Shopping Network right now, except it's radio. It's like, but we also have a fine collection of souvenirs you can take home to remember your experience.
So you have this
shock
like
around the clock.
58-year-old woman who just has a really nice looking hand, you know, modeling the ring.
Ooh, shock around the clock rings.
Sexy
I like
hand
that
model.
So we two major bits of swag we sell. One is the marathon T-shirt. Mm. Every marathon, at least every 24-hour marathon, going back to 1988. 87 actually has had a T-shirt for sale, and there's always a snazzy design on it.
Do you know what color they're going to be?
We've had the T-shirts themselves have been black for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be another black
one? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we try to go with different colors, and any more that can be a real crapshoot.
Yeah,
there was one year. Sci-fi is a little bit easier for that.
Sci-fi work. Yeah, I mean black's a very easy marathon.
Yeah,
color.
Well, and sometimes too the designs we have on the T-shirts play way better on black than they do on. Mm-hmm. An alternate. I think in horror marathon history, there were a couple red T-shirts, and there was one purple T-shirt. No, two purple T-shirts. I take that back.
The one with Count.
Count
Yorga?
Yorga.
Yeah, he's on that one.
And there was another one with a skull from the undead on there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they've been black because it you're able to have a lot more colorful of a design.
Mm.
So we have the T-shirt, but we also have coffee mugs. Now, since we restarted the 24-hour horror marathon in 2009, we've had a coffee mug every year. And the deal with the coffee mug, and this is for you caffeine junkies out there, is you buy the coffee mug and you get unlimited bottomless coffee from the theater.
Dare I ask, though, really quickly, will there be coffee to go with this coffee mug?
I sure hope so.
Okay, just checking.
I don't think we or the
historically
theater would...
that hasn't always been the
no,
case.
No, well, wait. Now, okay, now, be honest. Once
causing problems.
Once now, when exactly, Professor?
Yeah.
Has once noted historically. Come on. Wrong. Ah, yes.
Okay.
I'm doing my little dance right now.
I don't
guy. You can't see it out there, but I am like doing flips right now and projecting my voice into the microphone. No, out of all the years we've done the marathon.
There was just one time the coffee broke, and that makes sense.
In shock around the clock history, yeah. In these 5 years, we have only had 1 year where there was a problem with the coffee.
Yeah. Okay.
Every other year we have had coffee.
These are the hard
and even the year we had the problem, we had coffee. It was a less than ideal situation, but we had it. But no, last year we were great for coffee.
No, the last couple marathons have been good coffee. Yeah, I'm just curious.
I'm just trolling you now. You're just baiting. Like, but tell me, you sound like some certain people I've known online. You're like, but tell me, will the film show up? Tell me.
I was channeling Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park. Will there be dinosaurs on this dinosaur tour?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, traditionally in the past with the coffee mug, we make the mug and it's got a snazzy design on it. And traditionally for the past 5 years, the deal has been this. You buy the coffee mug, and it's been around $18 to $20. You get the mug, you get the bottomless cup, all in one package. This year, to kind of better split things up in terms of cost of mug, cost of coffee, which some of you out there are like, the what? I don't know why I just lisped right there.
I don't know.
Those of you with a cleft palate.
Who
are
you
are saying,
channeling that
so
time?
What? Yeah, I don't know. That was, I don't know what that was. Some of you out there are saying, so what? But we wanted to make sure that we could evenly split up the cost of the two things so we knew where the coffee expenses were going and where the mug expenses were going. They are separate things, believe it or not. So here's the deal this year. Here's how it will go. If you want to buy the mug,
yeah,
you buy it from us at the table with the t-shirts, $15 flat. That's it. You can take it. If you don't want to get coffee, that's fine. Also, a complaint in the past, people said, well, I want the mug, but I don't want to pay the full price because I don't drink coffee. That's cool. You can just buy the mug, and you don't have to do anything with it. You can just keep it, take it home, put whatever you want in it. If you want the bottomless cup of coffee, you'll take the mug to the concession stand and say, I want the bottomless cup. They will charge you $5, and you'll get a wristband. And then you just show the wristband to the concession stand after that every time, and you get unlimited coffee in the mug for the rest of the night. There you go.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, and this is not me making problems, but I'm curious because I
can
imagine somebody...
Will the wristband show up?
No. My question is, can somebody just go up and say, I want the bottomless... I don't want the mug, but I want to have coffee all night in your baby. That won't be allowed.
No, it's tied in... Unless the Drexel has something up their sleeve, we have not discussed that. And okay. The bottomless cup is... The bottomless option is only if you buy the mug.
How much is just regular coffee? If you just said, I want a cup of coffee.
I forget.
I don't want to pay $20.
God, it's been a while. I think it was like...
$3-4?
I forget. It was like between $2 and $3.
Okay.
I get the bottomless cup because I help run the events, so I haven't drank coffee at the Drexel on my own in a couple of years.
Will there be and the Drexel's pretty good at they have different types of sweeteners and milk and creamer and stuff. Right?
Yeah. You threw me off for some reason.
I don't know why.
Milk, I don't know.
that wasn't like a kite kind of came out of clear blue sky. Wait, what are you talking about? Stuff to put in the coffee? What do you want next?
Will the milk show up? I don't think so.
Well, because
I'm Kevin Carr asking the hard-hitting questions.
As
here
an avid racist coffee drinker, it's got to be, it can't be completely black.
Yeah, we had it. So yeah, we had it last year.
I'm just,
right?
Yeah,
we had
just
it at Sci-Fi.
As long as there's enough, because I put cream in.
Yeah, it should be pretty standard.
And there's a huge difference between milk and cream.
There is a huge difference. Yeah. You're right. I agree.
When it comes to coffee, what do you drink in your coffee? You drink it black?
I drink my coffee black.
Like your men?
Like Agent Cooper. Actually, you know what? that was the weird thing. When I started really drinking coffee, it was based around Twin Peaks, and I drank it black because Cooper drank it black. And
seriously?
I swear to God, and I've drank it? Is that the correct conjugation of that?
Donuts,
verb?
Too, and cherry pie? Was that your thing? Will there be cherry pie next year?
Well, we have to get the movie first.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Yeah. There will be donuts at the marathon.
Will there be
in the morning? So if you want to have an Agent Cooper moment at like 9 a.m., you can.
Will it be like a good amount of donuts, or will it be like two boxes and that's it? If you don't get in that first break, fuck you, man. You don't get shit.
Okay, you know what you're doing right now?
I'm dating you.
Hey, audience. audience, I would like to note that Kevin Carr is committing an act of historical fallacy here, and that is he is extrapolating some of the events that happened at one, note one, that's the number one, as in less than two, greater than zero. He's extrapolating the events that happened at one of the shock around the clocks, events that were remedied the next year for many reasons.
I'm just keeping
and he is extrapolating said events and saying, but what if that year repeats itself? What if Michael Myers strikes again? What will happen? What if you're now getting into the post 9/11 thinking from the government, which was, it's not a matter of if we'll be hit, it's a matter of when.
I'm in conspiracy theories.
Yes, it's like
I'm a truther.
It's not a matter of if there'll be a donut shortage.
Show
again.
Me your long form birth certificate.
It's when there'll
receipt.
Be the donut shortage again, because a donut shortage is coming. We know it. They're planning. He's in the cave planning the donut shortage. Okay, unless there is a strike at every donut shop in the city on that weekend. Yeah, here's the thing. Dirty secret. I haven't had a donut at the marathon in quite a long time.
No, you're not a true Twin Peaks fan.
Well, I get the thing is, As those of you who've seen me in person know, I'm ridiculously fit for my age, and maintaining my sexy youthful veneer at this age means you gotta push your diet out a little bit more.
Leprechaun genes.
And I got an audience to perform for, and at 9 a.m. if I have a donut, I'm gonna be less than optimal. So I gotta stay away from that. I eat a nice little protein bar, and then I'm off to entertain the masses. Yeah. So, but yeah, donut, as, the Drexel, the last two marathons we felt at the Drexel, once we have gone there, they've been great donut-wise.
Okay.
As far as I know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing is, I haven't eaten a donut. I just haven't.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Our next are you going to say, but what if?
What if it happens? And we know it's going to happen. Let's close the airports.
But what if the
before this donut thing takes over?
But what if the projector doesn't work? What if? What about that, huh? You're like the Bill O'Reilly of marathon interviews.
Let's talk about
ambush artists.
Let's talk about the rest of the consent. Do you know what other any and you know, just normal sort of hot dogs are going to be pizza?
Yeah, yeah. Well, from when last we checked, and we're still waiting on the 100% confirmed list as of this recording, which is Tuesday, the 7th of October. But it should be about the same as the last couple of marathons, expanded to reasonably. We keep having discussions about trying to improve it each time within reasonable limits. Mm-hmm. And there's been talk about how to bring in sandwiches, or there's been talk. I mean, we've even talked a couple times about maybe even employing a caterer, like a small scale, like someone who could bring in a couple trays of sandwiches or something. But it's kind of a. Each marathon is work it out depending on what we can do, the theater can do. And the theater is always, full credit to them, the theater is always trying to explore how to make that end of things better. Because, obviously, they make a good amount of their money off of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which, hey, by the way, those of you coming to the event, please patronize the concession stand. Please, please, please. And don't patronize them because they'll get unruly and surly if you do that. But please patronize the concession stand. Buy things from them. That is, in a lot of ways, how any movie theater makes its money. Yeah. And the more you spend at the concession stand, the more the options they'll give you. Now, that being said, too, this is a very reasonable crew at the Drexel. And they get, because we hear this a lot, they get people have odd dietary restrictions and things like that. At the door, here's another thing to emphasize a non-extrapolation of a previous, actually, couple marathons. We will not be like fleecing your bag at the door every time you come in.
You're not going to be confiscating
a
Snickers bar if you've got it buried.
No. Well, and I mean, I bring things in. Like I said, I have a very specific diet because I'm crazy. So I bring a few things in. It's a deal where like if you start bringing in coolers like you did in the old days, you can't do that. And if you're bringing in like 2 liters and big, huge honking things of things, no, we're not going to. You know, we'll probably say, hey, can you, like, leave that out? But no.
But if you're in line waiting and eating a bagel.
Wow. No one ever did that, did they?
You're not.
This sounds oddly personal.
It was very personal. I was literally not allowed to walk in with a bagel.
Kevin had a traumatic moment at the Drexel several years ago under a slightly previous management where an employee or a volunteer made him sit there and drink his coffee and eat his bagel in front of them. And I think they laughed and said, now who's the boss? There you go. Yeah. That last part might have been made up in my own little twisted mind.
I'm pretty sure it happened.
Well, that line about, now who's the boss, Kevin Carr? Actually, they said, oh, you listen to your podcast. It's kind of lame. Now drink your coffee, podcast boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there. No. But anyway, no, we're not going to fleece your bags. Yeah. Try to limit it to within some reason. The other good thing, too, is...
Well, the whole Bexley thing of if you're drinking a cup of coffee while you're waiting in line or having a soda and you happen to let them in at the time you're still drinking, they're not going to have a big trash bag where they're throwing
stuff. The nice thing, too, about Bexley, and this was to an extent the case in Grandview, too, is if, say, there's a movie you don't like, or if you really want to go out for a full-scale dinner, there are places around there you can walk out to.
Yeah.
Another part of the marathon pitch that a lot of people, especially newbies, don't get, and that is you buy a ticket, you can come and go as you please throughout the entire run of the event. If you want to buy a ticket and show up for the first film and leave and show up once again for the last film, you can do that.
I've done that. I once had a, this was back in the 90s, but the people I went with didn't want to go the whole night, but I wanted to see the final film, and we went home and took a nap and came back.
If you want to show up late, if you have something to do. We have people where they're working or whatever, and they can't show up until 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can buy a ticket. Now, seating is first come, first served.
Sure.
So, say, like in 2012, when we had our biggest attendance in years back in 2012, and we had a handful of people show up at like 4 or 5 o'clock and said, well, we can't find seats. And we said, well, if you can wait till after this film is done, we'll try to help you. Because we had seats, but we had a lot of people in there at that point. So know that if you really want a seat, if you really are specific, or if there's really a place in the theater you don't like sitting, send a friend ahead of you and save a seat, or show up in the beginning, stalk it out, and then leave if you have to.
What time are you opening the doors?
Okay. This is unconfirmed as of right now. Okay. Last year at the Horror Marathon, we opened the doors at, I believe, 10:45 a.m.
Oh, wow.
I think that's ideal.
Yeah.
Because, and we made the mistake last year.
We made
the mistake last year of opening the doors at 10:45, but we forgot to tell anybody. So at,
nobody's here.
Yeah. Well, usually at the marathon, especially sci-fi, you get a nice line down the block.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like 10:30 and we're looking down the block and we're thinking, where the hell is everybody? And then I realized, that's right, Joe Neff, the moron in chief, I realized, oh, we didn't tell people we were opening the doors that early. Because for a long time, marathons have not opened their doors until like 11:15, 11:30, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, even going back to the old Drexel North days.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there were times when they opened the doors after noon. And once or twice.
Doesn't make
any sense. I'm just saying it happens.
Well, and here,
it's not a criticism. That's not me extrapolating an entire history.
I was like a fetus when that happened, right? Yeah.
No. When were you a fetus? Did you suddenly regress to a fetus when you were like 14?
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay. Leave that alone.
But yeah, it's for me, here is the ideal situation for any marathon opening it up. You open up at 10:30, 10:45. You let people come in. They get to settle in. They get an hour's worth of
chit-chat with their friends.
Chit-chat. And I mean, at least, you know, for horror, the last couple of years, I put together an hour-long reel of video stuff and music on top of that.
Yeah.
You get to buy stuff from the concession stand. Again, the big thing for the theater, it's like you open up early. People have the chance to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And get it done. And you can at your leisure buy a t-shirt and a mug. You don't have to worry about, oh crap, I got to buy this now or I'll miss getting my seat. You can get settled in. We can start our opening spiel at 11:45 and we actually start at noon. Amazing concept. I know there have been years where we have started at like 12:30. There are years during the Shock Around the Clock years where we've started at 12:30, 12:45. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you're already running behind. Yeah,
I get if you're running behind. After starting on time, things happen. But if you can control that, control it. So, yeah, we most likely will be opening the doors Saturday morning, the 18th. I'd say 10:45 at the latest.
Okay.
And it takes a lot of stress off us, too, because there's nothing worse than saying, we got 20 minutes to herd 250 people in. You know, let's roll. So, yeah, that should be it. And at the beginning, then, you can... Am I doing too much of a hard sell? Like, buy stuff. Buy more stuff from the concession stand. Buy popcorn.
And they should. You should. And because, I mean, back in the old days when it was the Drexel North and it was an 800-seat theater, yeah, people could bring in a cooler. That's one thing. But now it is important for the theater to get concession money, and it's important for the event to have swag being, even if it's just advertising throughout the year.
Give the Drexel your money. Just give them at the concession stand.
No,
I'm going to pull a Bob Geldof moment from Live Aid. Just give us your fucking money. Come on.
No, but I mean, I went down to the Studio 35 does their Nandahl Theater. I went down there a couple months ago when they did Killer Clowns, and I ran into somebody. I was wearing a marathon t-shirt. He was, it's free advertising. You know, it's good. Have the t-shirts out there.
And I have it on good authority. I heard on the internet that marathon t-shirts are extraordinarily sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard on the internet that many young dudes wearing them pick up lots and lots of women, and many young women pick up lots and lots of men.
Okay.
Believe it or not, they are magnets, if you will, for eroticism.
Is that true? Eroticism?
Six of my children were born while I was wearing, or conceived while I was wearing a marathon
t-shirt. There's nothing erotic about birth. Let me tell you, it's so horrifying. I've watched it happen.
One of my children was born in a marathon t-shirt, believe it or not.
Wow, that's amazing.
How that happened, I can't divulge.
Do you know how much they're going to be?
And no, I don't have any children, by the way.
That
hint, hint, ladies, somewhere out there.
Ladies. You can be the first.
Ladies, I ain't getting much younger, and I have to pass on the name.
Be the first to poop out a Joe Neff baby.
Ew, yeah, nobody wants that. Trust me. There's one of me in this world is more than enough.
All right.
Price, let me see. I forget what the price will be. Some of that depends on unit cost.
Okay.
Because it's not getting any cheaper.
Well, you've sent them to the printer by now, haven't you? Or
yeah, I think we have a quote. Right? Bruce okay. usually handles that. That sounds like a huge cop-out, but he does. We have to divide these things up. I think last year we divided it because we had medium, large, XL, double XL. I think there was a few triple XLs. And yeah. The price bumped up a few dollars by each mm-hmm. size.
Will there be triple XLs? I asked this as a fact.
I'm guessing, yeah. Well, that's the complaint we always got was, where are the triple XLs? You ran out, you bastard.
Well, and it depending on who does the shirts. And usually Marathon shirts are pretty stable, the ones that you yeah. guys have gotten. But it's not uncommon. You get a triple XL, and it's really like an X and a half, and then it shrinks the
size. Yeah, I run into the same thing, too, where I'm, in general, I wear a small T-shirt.
Yeah.
But it's like anything. Like there are so many cases where even as a small, you're like, okay, so is this a real small or a tiny small, and is the medium mm-hmm. actually better? I do that. Like I always set aside a small and a medium T-shirt when he places the order because I have no clue how they're going to fit when they get mm-hmm. to me. It's so tough being so ridiculously fit, but hey,
that's wonderful.
Somebody's got to do it. Thank you. Yes. Anyway, so price-wise, I think they were... I forget how much they were last
you're
year.
Like, you are like uncharacteristically proud of your physique in this episode.
That's all I have left.
I was about to say, because normally you haven't bragged
Kevin,
about it.
I'm living you're in abject poverty.
You're
I'm
running rubbing
a,
my nose
I'm
in
running
it.
A marathon while pitching myself as a life coach. That's all I have left.
Just
is,
because you can't afford to eat does not mean that you're making good choices.
No, I can afford to eat.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I can't afford to do much else.
Okay.
Now, ladies out there, if there are any of you who have a lot of money, say from a trust fund or a dead ex-husband.
Or a current husband who you want to be a dead ex-husband.
We can talk.
Yeah.
I'm fairly young and still...
And as we have told you, he is fit, yes.
Mildly
fit.
Attractive.
He's small. He wears a small T-shirt.
As Bon Scott once be...
Don't.
Bon Scott once said, for a fee, I'm happy to be your backdoor man.
Yeah.
Dirty deeds done dirt wow. cheap.
This, yeah. you know... Just because it's a small T-shirt, don't extrapolate. Ladies, so yeah, I wear a triple X T-shirt.
someone out there, the ombudsman out there is saying, this is obfuscation. He is putting off the question. Very sly, Mr. Neff, but you can't obfuscate with me.
Yes.
T-shirts last year, I think, started out
30-ish, 35,
well, I don't think they were that much. I think it was like 20-25, somewhere in that.
For the regular ones, but for regular, the triple X.
Triple X might have been close to 30.
Okay.
Because they do cost a decent chunk. Well, and we go yeah. all out too. They've been two sided for a while.
Yeah. They're good. They're good T-shirts. Most of my wardrobe consists of old Marathon T-shirts.
I've noticed. You're wearing one wrapped on your head right now,
That's
so
right.
that it looks very fetching. That looks even more fetching now. He just yeah. put a little cauldron on his head, but it's very small.
Hello,
it looks, yeah, it looks like a little comically small top hat. Hello, yeah. it's
my Laurel and Hardy with horns.
That's about what I was going to say. Yeah, another fine mess you've gotten us into, Kevin.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, but yeah, it should be cool. We have an image this year, the front image of the T-shirt, and I think we'll post this stuff online next week.
Mm-hmm.
We're really going whole hog on that. The horned devil skull that we have on the flyer,
is that from? Is that just a horror image, or is that from like the Satanist?
It is from the Spanish poster for Tombs of the Blind Dead.
Wow.
And it's just such a cool image to use for anything.
Will there be boobies on the shirt? Because there's this picture of...
No, well, there are, but they're covered, and it's not
her. Are there nipples on the shirt?
No.
Okay.
No, there is definition of breast from something else. And on the back, we have an image...
There's a giant penis in the middle of it. Go figure.
Yeah, we're going full shameless this year.
The reason I ask is actually my son... Liam bought one of the, what one was, it was, I think, the last Shock Around the Clock at the Grandview.
Oh, yeah, that
and
was.
And it had, it did
the
have
girl,
some,
oh, yeah.
It had some nipple
I,
on it.
No, those, okay, I can tell
and
you.
And he was not allowed to wear it to school.
Those were not nipples, those were pasties. I added those pasties on because there were nipples on that, and I put, wow, that's weird. They didn't look close enough, obviously.
Well, they
I
did
created,
not exam- okay.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yes. On the, okay, for those of you who don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth Shock Around the Clock, the T-shirt for that, which I designed, or at least I ripped off, is the art from the Jean Rollin film Rape of the Vampire, I believe.
Mm.
And it's a really cool psychedelic
family
lady
film.
Vampire art. But on the central image is like a topless vampire woman with a candelabra, and I added a little like bikini to her. But on the sides,
yeah, the sides. It was the girls on the side, yeah.
And I specifically added these little blue dots as pasties, essentially, onto the nipples.
I think they just thought they were blue nipples.
I think I might have to pay a visit to Liam's school tomorrow and say, "Hey, I designed that shirt. Those aren't nipples. Okay?
Those ain't nipples. I know nipples. I've done nipples before.
This is my dirty deeds done dirt cheap. This is my new career right now. It's like
backdoor nipples.
Going to Liam's school. It's like." What's the line from Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap? It says, if you got a problem with the high school head, you ain't got the guts. They say driving you night and day enough to drive you nuts or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to your son, Liam.
I'm just waiting for the advice to come from that. You're like it says.
I'm turning
it. Like it says, eat the guts, throw it all over the face. See? What? What are you endorsing?
Liam's in the other room right now. I should call him out and say, "Hey, let me take care of your school head about that T-shirt."
Liam,
come here. This is called live radio.
Yeah,
right
live.
Here.
Well, it's not live; it's recorded. But we'll probably keep this in. Go get the shirt they wouldn't allow you to wear at school.
This is bullshit.
That's right. You're channeling Tommy Wiseau now. This is bullshit.
That's right.
I did not.
That's right. Head of Liam's school, whoever you are, Liam. Who will remain anonymous. Yeah. I'm calling you out. That's my handywork. Actually, it's not
that
mine.
That doesn't fit. No.
That's not the right T-shirt.
No. That one, the black one from the horror marathon with the girls on the side. Not the one from the strip club that I gave you. That one definitely had nipples all over it.
Is that the shirt that you take up to Columbus Gold and you're like, "Will you put this on?"
Okay, this is really pulling the veil back. I was at an adult establishment once. And it was
a speakeasy, if you will.
It was very recently after they passed the really oppressive strip club laws, like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, the liquor law. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had pasties, and one of the girls, she took her pasty off and she handed it to me because it was falling off or whatever, because she'd been dancing all night.
Yeah.
She handed it, and I go, okay. And I stuck it in my pocket. And later that week, I reached in my pocket. I'm like, "Oh," my wife's like, "What's that?" I go, "It's a pasty."
Whoops.
From my job.
you're like the low rent Howard Stern.
She had
it's like, "Oh, that I don't know about that. It's just I just get into situations, you know."
Well, it's just so funny because she was just like, "Okay." It's a pasty.
Wait, if you're the low rent Howard Stern, does that make you me?
You're calling me Don Imus? You calling me Don Imus?
Could I be your low rent Fred Norris then?
You can be my low rent. Whatever offensive character.
Joey the Idiot Boy?
Yeah. You're my Robin Quivers. You are my Robin Quivers.
Wow.
Well,
I do have fake outrage at some of the things you say.
Well, good. You should.
I'd probably be more Jackie Martling. Like, I'd be sort of funny but annoying and then get kicked off the show eventually. Get kicked off the show eventually due to a contract dispute. And then I'll come back years later and say, "Come on, Kevin, let's hug. Please." Please.
There's not nearly enough naked girls for this to be a
Does that mean Liam can be the Baba Booey of this podcast?
Apparently, if he ever shows up with that T-shirt.
He is fairly incompetent like he is, yeah. Come on, where's the shirt? We want to see these. Oh, my God. I bet that school took the shirt. I bet they made him take it off.
They made him put tape on it. They literally made him put pasties on top of the pasties.
I specifically PG'd that shirt up, okay?
That just does not sound good. The way you said it, that just sounds bad.
I added obfuscation so you did not see nipples, so that if a middle school guy wanted to wear that shirt, he could wear it. I just want to quit right now and walk to that school like George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, call him up and say, "What the hell's wrong? What the hell's the matter with your wife?
You want the moon?"
Boy, man, you get mad when your handiwork's
parking. Any parking situation, street parking behind the theater? Is it cool to park behind the theater?
Yes, there's limited parking behind the theater. There is quite a bit of side street parking.
Yeah.
And actually, on the weekends on Main Street, there's a decent amount of, I believe, free parking, although pay attention to the meters. They can change sometimes.
Okay.
But it's...
I usually park up Drexel, the road Drexel.
Yeah, Drexel Avenue usually has some parking. It's like any kind of residential neighborhood theater. Just be good to the people who live there. Don't cause a ruckus. Don't park in the wrong spot. Don't park in front of their driveway. Mm-hmm. And they've generally been good to us, so yeah.
Okay.
So parking should be okay. What other bits of clerical matters do we have to
I think
take
that's
care
it.
Of?
Are we do we have any good surprises? Any are we gonna get the Bread films? I hear Kevin O'Brien is coming back.
If you love Kevin S. O'Brien, he's coming back in town direct from Australia.
Australia.
And he'll be there. So yeah, I don't think he'll be doing
the body count.
He retired from that a long time ago. Actually, one of my buddies is supposed to be the official body counter, but I haven't received confirmation if he's going to be there or not.
Does he get any compensation? Does he get like a cup of coffee
no.
or a free t-shirt?
No. He gets the pleasure that he can laugh at himself, and that's, I think, all he really wants.
You know what's funny? I will note this, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this. When it comes to the body count, because they used to do it for both horror and sci-fi,
yeah.
sci-fi almost always wipes out the body count.
You're right.
Because they have entire planets blowing up at times.
You're right. It's, yeah, and it's a lot of the horror marathons, the deaths have been more personal and
well, like Texas Chainsaw. I mean, it's what, five? It's only a handful of people who actually get it's horrifying and awful. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Mass extinction doesn't happen a lot at the horror marathon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sci-fi, it's just a slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Like if you were to show Star Wars, you know, Alderaan. Blue.
Just that basketball blowing up.
Yeah. Yes. That was my Dark Maul.
Okay, so tell me something. We've been talking about this stuff. Are we only like an hour into the podcast right now?
An hour, 2 minutes, yes.
Whoa!
We might actually trim a little bit of that out because for all the nonsense that happened early on.
There's no nonsense.
There's always
this
nonsense.
This is all... okay, hey, every gang out there, if you...
I just presented nonsense to Joe right in his face.
Kevin knows what makes me laugh. Cheap, stupid, childish humor and large men wearing comically small hats. Yeah. If you want to make me laugh, if you're a large guy and you have a comically small top hat. Large,
there's none of those.
Or if you have a comically large fake beard, preferably the kind that have hooks that you hook around your ears.
Oh, okay.
I go nuts for any of that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, it all makes sense in the end.
I think that's it. I mean, is there anything else, any other big... We are getting the Bread films, right?
Yeah. Bread films, I'm guessing, will most likely show.
Yo Gorilla's not going to show because he's more sci-fi.
Can you ever get enough Yo Gorilla, though?
No.
I think, you know, in terms of official marathon business, I guess the biggest point that I keep emphasizing, and I'll emphasize it again, and if you made it all the way to this part of the podcast...
You deserve a medal.
Yeah. These things are so much fun, and every year people ask us, why do you keep doing them? And also people start to ask nowadays, why do you keep doing them, you know, with home video being the way it is, with Netflix and Amazon and streaming video being the way it is, with the internet, with, you know, you can have such a pretty great experience in your home with a good home theater setup or an okay home theater setup, you know? And people say, why do you keep doing it? Well, it's the people. It really is. We wouldn't keep doing this. I mean, if no one showed up, why would we do it? If the crowds were middling, why would we do it? But it's the people. It's the experience. That's what hooked me when I first got in.
It's the cheers when stuff happens and you got the audience react. I mean, you're next. I actually, of all the movies, I'm looking most forward to seeing your next with the theater. Because, I mean, I like the movie. I saw it last year. So I'm not dying to see it again so soon. But I want to see it with the theater. Same thing with Manitow.
I love seeing the movies. And don't get me wrong, I think it's imperative that you have to program a strong lineup. Because the movies are part of the event. The event is, it's a movie event.
Yeah.
It's focused around you sitting in a theater for 24 hours. So the movies have to be there. But that being said, you could have a phenomenal lineup and a middling crowd. And it's far, far less fun than a large crowd and a lineup that might not be the greatest in the world. Now, if you can have both, that's even better. I'm pretty proud of the lineups we've done for quite a long time now.
Yeah.
And this lineup, I think, I'm looking forward to everything that we have here.
But
I would not look forward as much to this lineup if it wasn't for knowing that the people will be there and knowing that we'll all have that collective experience. And sometimes, I mean, the reactions you talk about when the crowd goes nuts, that's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes the coolest reactions are the things you just don't expect. Delicatessen at the Sci-Fi Marathon, one of your son's favorites of that event.
Yeah.
That was such a cool screening because it wasn't like people were bouncing out of their seats. I was worried how people would react to that. I've told this story before. Because, you know, if you haven't seen Delicatessen, it's a really fun movie, but it's a little eccentric. And you wonder sometimes with a sci-fi or a horror crowd, how far will they be willing to go in this direction? And the crowd loved it, but they loved it in a way that, like, they laughed at all the right times and they clapped at all the right times and they got great ovation at the end.
Yeah.
And you could just tell it was like, ah, this is cool. This is like a really neat way to see it. And that is why seeing it at this event beats the pants off of seeing it at home. Because you could sit at home this weekend and watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or next weekend, I should say. You could watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre on the new Blu-ray that came out and be fine. But you're not going to get the same experience as experiencing it with this crowd. I'll tell you, the biggest example I think is going to be for this marathon is Strange Color of Your Body's Tears.
Yeah.
Every review I've heard of that, people say, without a doubt, seeing it in a theater is the way to see it. Because it is such a, of all the films we have, it is such a, supposedly such a sensory overload. Yeah. And it really just knocks you back in your seat, both visually, sonically, everything else. Seeing that in a home theater that's nice on a 60-inch TV would be nice. Seeing it on a huge screen with a huge sound system, with a huge crowd, that to me is a totally different experience. So I that's why we keep doing it. And we keep doing it because we like the people, you know. Mm. If the crowd were a bunch of jerks, I don't know, maybe we wouldn't. But
I want one final real quick question, and this is more the sort of the housekeeping of the theater. And I've always asked, you know, we've always talked and gone back and forth about what's appropriate, when to chuckle, when to maybe call out now and then. And we, you know, it's you generally have good taste and listen to the people around you. The one thing I do want to point out, and I've noticed this over the last couple of years, cell phones. And I understand that people have cell phones, but are we willing to go on the record of saying, guys, put it away?
You know what? I blame for the cell phone epidemic? Twitter.
You can go ahead and blame Twitter all you want.
This is me dropping the mic.
No, but this is my question. This is my question to you. Is there going to be an official policy of guys, don't use a phone?
No, that should be the official policy. And I thought at horror last year we said something. I forget if we did. We may have missed out.
Not say it at sci-fi.
We should. And part of it too is that, and I say this all the time, and some of you out there every year probably think, oh, he's just kissing up to the audience. But really, the audience is great. And the horror audience especially, go figure, has been fantastic for years, for like a decade and a half now, policing themselves.
Yeah.
And it hasn't seemed to pose that much of a problem, but I know
it's not that bad.
I know that these things creep up, so we should probably say something officially like, hey, please keep your cell phones away, because you're right, there have been a few people over the years who usually sit down front and decide if they're bored, open up their phones, and it's like, hey,
and they'll like Google the movie, and I understand if you get a text, if you pull it out and you look at it, or that's how you look and see what time it is. I get it if you just glance at it.
We are very much in brotherhood with the Alamo Drafthouse about cell phone use. Now, that doesn't mean we'll kick you out of the theater if we see it.
Sure. But here's
please don't. You have a lot of time throughout this event. And if somebody's near you doing
it, tell them to please put it away. Be polite. Yeah. Tell them to put it away. And if they don't. Because I was at, and it was at a sci-fi marathon. The first one I took my son Liam to. So there was the one where they showed War of the Worlds. And there was somebody down front who, I guess, at some movie was bored and started. And I could see he was checking IMDb.
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't need to check. If you need to check IMDb, go out. You
know? Please do, yeah.
And I walked down, I said something. Now he put it away. But the point is that, I guess this is my plea to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just wait for the person to stop doing it. Well, say something, be polite about it. But
I think in a larger cultural sense too, this ties in with what I was just saying about the crowd.
Yeah.
This is a real communal event. Even if you don't know anybody else in the crowd, even if you don't want to know anybody else in the crowd, even if you have a friend that you go with and that's it, this is about experiencing that together.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, fine. If you're on call and you have an emergency, I get you got to go answer a phone call or whatever. But this is one day out of the year. I think I said this at Sci-Fi, and I'll probably continue beating this drum for a long time. One day out of the year when all these people from different backgrounds who might never talk to each other on any other day, 2 days per year, when they can all get together and have this experience together and forget about all the bullshit that goes on in your regular life and forget about, you know, a job if you don't like it or problems you have in your real life or anything, forget about all that stuff and experience this one thing. And that's all we're asking is, you know, it's one day and you're together and just don't, you know, if you really have to go check a website for something, walk outside. Don't ruin the experience for everybody else, please.
As one thing to tweet when the movie's over, I'll send out tweets during the thing, but I'll wait till the movie's over. Oh, we're getting ready to start Red Luck or whatever, you know, and that's cool because we've seen it in the past at one of the sci-fi people were tweeting about The Last Push, and that got Eric Hayden involved in it, which is great. But wait till the movie's over. You know, do it before it starts.
If you could, I would very much like you to tweet, oh, let's see, Werner Herzog. Say, at Werner Herzog, why aren't you here, Ohio Marathons?
Is there a way we can do that with an accent?
Actually, I don't think so. Herzog has a Twitter account, but it's only been used twice.
Is it really his? Oh, no. It's not like the fake Michael Haneke.
There's a fake Twitter. Michael Haneke?
Oh, there was, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He was crazy. It was right before when he was nominated for Amore.
Oh, yeah. As far as I know, the Herzog Twitter account is real, but it's only been used twice.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about anything else? I know you talked about, you kind of spitballed the idea last time of doing marathon memories or anything else like that. We've kind of gotten into that a bit here.
I don't know. Is there anything in particular that you want to throw out there?
Well, I'll give a plug to our social media / web outlets. For the last month, since we've had the lineup locked down for so long, which is nice, for the last month on the official marathon message board, which you can find at horrormarathon.com, I've been doing a question of the week. And the first week was top three all-time horror marathon film experiences. That could be anything. That could be a guest introducing something. That could be a screening of something. That could be something like a film break and the audience reaction. One week I did What's Your Story About The Shining?
Yeah.
Because it's morphed into this. The Shining has morphed into this thing that's so much bigger than just a horror movie from 1980. The most recent
one, I just wrote an article about it should run Film School Rejects sometime this week. How much blood it takes to fill the blood elevator hallway?
A lot.
3,000 gallons.
3,000 gallons. How did you figure that out?
Well, I contacted the guy who is profiled in room 237, the guy who did the recreation through Lightwave, and he did a special effects version of it where he rebuilt the hallway and he poured the blood in.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah.
That's not in the film. Yeah.
I thought it was in the film.
That's, maybe that part's not that, it's probably the guy.
Okay.
But I've never heard that part of it.
But yeah, this guy did a breakdown of the blood pouring through, and he did it at 1/2 scale, which is, he said he used 366 gallons.
Oh.
But at 1/2 scale, multiply it by 8 because that's, you know, area versus scale versus volume. And it comes out to just shy of 3,000 gallons. And a human body has about a gallon of blood in it. So that'd be 3,000 people's blood worth. And then God knows where the blood would go because it's not connected to anything else in the hotel, but it's obviously on the first floor.
Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe.
thank you for citing your source.
G.I. Joe.
That's amazing.
So anyway. Back to me. What was I talking? Oh yeah, the forum. Yeah, there was a question this week about what you think the top three all-time horror marathon premieres are for you, not counting Dead Alive / Brain Dead, because that's widely acknowledged as the greatest of all time. And it's been a fun way for people to share memories, and it's, I think, one of the more enjoyable parts of that. And we struggle to get this kind of crossover sometimes, and I know the crossover is there as part of the crowd.
Yeah,
but getting it in writing or actually hearing it is rare, is that crossover between the people who started out at the Drexel North and the people who started out like 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's so interesting to see the convergence and sometimes the divergence of experiences with that. There are people who have no clue what the Drexel North was.
Yeah.
Which is weird thinking about that, because to an entire generation of us, that was the marathons. But to an entire different part of the crowd right now. Wow, the sun is shining in the windows right now.
Now it's blasting
at Marathon
face,
Central. Yeah, it is. It right as I mentioned Drexel North, the sun came out.
Wow. Symbolism.
That might be a premonition that the theater is coming back. Watch our Twitter account for more rumors.
I wouldn't start.
First Twin Peaks came back. Now the Drexel North is coming back. I'm buying it.
I wouldn't start selling short on your stock
I would like to make the announcement that due to my budding career as a life coach and me going to tell Liam's principal what's going on, I'm going to have enough money soon to rebuy the Drexel North, and I'm going to reopen it. So Columbus Sports Connection, watch out. I'm coming for you.
There you go.
You're going to have to move into Star Cafe across the street.
Can you also get G.D. Ritzy's to open back up across
are you kidding
the street?
Me? Oh, you don't realize my mom.
That's my marathon memory. G.D. Ritzy's.
My mom.
G.D. fucking Ritzy's.
My mom loves GD Ritzy's. My mom laments to this day the loss of GD Ritzy's. She, just the other day, we were talking about food, and she said, nobody made a hamburger like GD Ritzy's.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yes, I will. Ritzy's still is alive.
It exists, right? But it's like in Illinois or Maryland. It's in another state.
Did I hallucinate the controversy when they changed the name to Ritzy's, that they took the GD out because...
Goddamn,
yeah.
Goddamn Ritzy's.
There was a small group of people who thought that was a reference
really?
To that. Goddamn Ritzy's.
Goddamn Ritzy's.
Yeah, that's a...
I loved GD Ritzy's. There was one nearby where I grew up, down near Henderson and Reed Road. There was that. That was in the corner there.
One out on the west side where I grew up. Yeah. Too. Yeah, there were...
And there was that... And it was so great because it was right across the street from the Drexel, so you could take a break. Across the street from the Drexel North, yeah, you could take a break. You go over there. They had the best hot dogs,
shoestring
fries,
hamburgers, ice cream.
Yeah,
that was a crazy place. Yeah,
they had a crazy like peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was worth buying.
That's right. It was like that triple decker peanut butter and jelly.
And they'd have like cut up strawberries on it and everything.
Yeah. Oh, whoa!
There's your marathon memories.
Wow!
Goddamn Ritzy's.
I never went to the Ritzy's though. When at the Drexel North, we didn't leave the theater. The only time I left the theater was for the infamous marching band contest that I keep dredging that story up.
Yeah, in. Yeah.
That marching band contest has replaced my real life ex-girlfriend from high school as my ex-girlfriend place. Like
the marching band contest. If not for that, I could have really experienced the whole thing.
GD marching band
if
concert.
I had been there at the horror marathons during the marching band contest, I could have convinced someone in the crowd to pony up the money and buy the theater, and we'd still have the Drexel North today. But because of the marching band contest, I was gone for those key hours.
Is this you, like, years from now, after you've been smoking a lot on your deathbed? My greatest regret is that marching band contest.
That's me now. I have to do so much vocal training to come in here and do the podcast. My normal voice sounds like that.
You sound like Mercedes McCambridge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do the whole thing. I swallow the eggs and drink the whiskey and have all the things come out. Yeah.
Have the things.
But yeah, we always stayed in the theater. In fact, really? my best friend in high school, I think after the first marathon or two, said we should make a pledge that we basically stay in the theater the whole time and we don't leave, to kind of immerse ourselves into the experience.
There's always the incorrect impression that it's a smelly place. And I think that came more from having 800 people in a theater than having... Because the smaller ones haven't been that bad, but you walk into the old Drexel North because you'd have a lot of people at food, and there'd be bread. They'd be bread.
Yeah.
Had a certain funk.
Yes.
The Drexel North would.
There have been a few times when at Sci-Fi at the Drexel in Bexley, not recently, but like 2008, 2009, when it moved there for the first time, there were a couple times where I remember walking back into the theater at about 4 in the morning, and a certain odor just kind of hit me all of a sudden. Not overpowering, but like, there's a few people who are sitting near the back maybe haven't partaken in a while. There's going to be a natural one of that anyway, because everybody's sitting around for a day.
For 24 hours.
Yeah. Not all of us stay as rosy, fresh, smelling as me.
Well, because of your diet.
I don't sweat at all during the marathon. I just sit and I absorb greatness.
Okay.
And I exude glory. So there.
Who's Bill O'Reilly now?
I admitted that in the past? I'm the Bill O'Reilly of the marathons, looking out for you, the common people. Because the elites, they want to lie about the marathon. Media elites like Kevin Carl want to lie about the marathon and say we won't have coffee. But let me tell you, gang, I'm looking out for you. But anyway, yeah, back at the North, we stayed in. But I always follow the bad eating habits. There's a topic, eating at the marathon. Please patronize the concession stand, but if you want to stay awake the entire time, you have to be smart. This is
a straight diet of Twizzlers and Dr. Pepper is not good.
I tried to survive the second schlock around the clock, the all-nighter, not even a 24-hour, but the all-nighter in 1994. I tried to survive it on soda and Slim Jims.
Oh, dude.
That was not a good idea.
You were the one who was not rosy fresh.
I guess so.
I'm pretty sure.
I had like a 2-year span there where I thought Slim Jims were the greatest thing in the world, and if you bring them to the marathon. Well, think about it in terms of utilitarian food.
Wait, hold on a second. Are you making a case for Slim Jims at this point now?
No. I was back in 1993, 1994.
Okay.
I was a completely different person then, you know?
Yeah.
I don't eat that shit anymore. Please. Please. At the time I thought, boy, Slim Jims, they're cheap, they're utilitarian, they're protein, ostensibly. They can sit forever. So I would bring like 4 or 5 Slim Jims to the marathon, and I would just kind of dig into those periodically. The mistake I made at some of those early marathons was the classic one, which is you come in and it's noon or whatever, and you might go get a soda or something like that, maybe some popcorn. You do that, and then you bring some candy or Slim Jims or whatever. But then around 5 o'clock, you order the pizza. You order the pizza and you devour like the entire thing with your friends, and you hit food coma. And then you're just swimming in like nothingness after that. You're like, ugh. And this was before I became a full-time coffee addict. So then you end up with, you know, a huge crash in the middle of the night. And then you get up and you have the donuts and orange juice. You get the sugar rush. And then hopefully you stay awake for the rest of the time. The best advice, well, two pieces of advice. One, space things out. That doesn't mean don't buy things. Please buy things. But if it's like Bio 101, if you really cram yourself full of stuff in the first half.
Don't raid the entire concession stand in 2 movies.
It'll be there. Pizza, I think they usually take sales till like between 10 and midnight, and they've tried to buy some extra pizzas to sell.
Are they going to take orders? Because I will say this.
Say no.
When it comes to pizza, well, you guys usually use Donato's, right? Donato's is a little greasy.
I think... Again, I didn't order pizza last time, so I forget. I believe it's been Donato's for the last couple of marathons.
Okay,
yeah,
because I learned this because it was back when I can't remember whether it was at Studio or Grandview, or maybe they both had similar a pizza joint, and you could get like different things on the pizza, and if you get like more vegetables and stuff like that, and you're not getting the greasy pepperoni,
that's the key right there.
That helps, but. Sometimes your only options are the pepperoni. And...
That's true, too, yeah. I think we've tried always to have another option, like a sub option, especially for vegetarians.
Yeah.
Fiber. Eat fiber at the marathon.
Yeah.
Kevin and I had this little moment of bonding a few years ago where we said, yeah, and there is, and some of you will laugh, it's like, where do you find fiber at the marathon? Well, it's there. But eat a little fiber, and it will help you to not crash if you want to stay. Now, if you don't want to stay awake the whole time, do whatever you want.
Well, that's the other thing. It's there are some people who look at the marathons as you have to stay awake the whole time. I've never looked at them that way. I've only stayed awake through the entire marathon once, and that was like in 1992 when I was in college and I was in the prime time to do that. Yeah. I've learned I'm in my 40s now. I gotta sleep through a couple movies, and that's okay. Yeah. And I've learned I can do that, and there's no problem with that. But either way, the greasy food, the heavy food, the spicy food, you know, hot dogs and pizza, you do want to space that out. And I know I'd get a salad when I could. That's what was so great about the Radio Cafe. I always say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They used to have some great options for stuff that just, let's just say, it doesn't go through you.
Yes.
Though as quickly.
Yeah.
As... pizza and
pepperoni. And that's been a big concern. We've tried to bring in what we can to fill in some more of those needs the last few years. It's tough. I mean, it's losing.
But I would encourage people that even if you don't have something there, it's not a bad idea to just run down to Cosi's and get a salad.
No.
You know,
go do
that.
Not at all.
Yeah. I did that with my son 1 year and he got a pizza because he was 10 at the time or 11. I got a salad and it was the greatest salad ever because... it balanced out whatever everything else.
I feel like we're turning into an NPR show now. Nutrition at the marathon. Yes. One of my favorite marathon memories around crashing out. I've told the story before, but it stuck in my mind. The 1995 science fiction marathon, the final science fiction marathon at the Drexel North, the final marathon at the Drexel North, the 9th annual It Came from the Drexel North. Let's see. It was the tribute to 50 years of the atomic bomb.
There were a bunch of film
like Atomic Cafe, Strange Love, Mad Max was kind of in there. A lot of atomic or like post-atomic films.
Yeah.
So we get to be around midnight. And the schedule around midnight, it went, let's see, Dr. Strange Love showed around 9:30, 9:45. And then First Spaceship on Venus showed. The rare First Spaceship on Venus, which if you've ever seen it is... okay.
They do it on Mystery Science Theater, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First Spaceship on Venus, followed by the Ohio Midwest premiere of The Secret Adventures of Tom Thumb, which was a great little strange movie, hour-long animated, followed by, I think it was Mind Ripper, the world premiere of the DTV Mind Ripper. And then H-Man, and then, you know, the last couple films. So anyway, I wanted to stay awake. And I was convinced I have to stay awake for this. And First Spaceship on Venus was starting to kill me. So I went out.
That's rough. That's a rough one.
Went out and got some coffee. Was not even a huge coffee drinker at that point. Yeah. Started drinking a little bit of coffee. Started to fade a little bit. So I got up and stood in the back of the theater at the Drexel North, behind those old stanchions they used to have, the dividers. Which you'd think, perfect place to stand up. I get up there after drinking the coffee during Tom Thumb, and I'm starting to waver a little bit.
Did you fall asleep standing up?
Almost. Leaning against that, I'm wavering a bit, so it's like, oh, I can't do that. So I stepped like 5 to 10 paces back behind that. So I'm standing independently of myself, and I remember because Jeff Frank was standing right by me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know him at the time. I would later go to work for him. And I'm standing there by myself, and all of a sudden I'm literally about to fall over because I'm so tired, and then I finally go back to my sleep and give up. And I always remember that because it was like, I can't believe I can't stand up even and not stay awake. And I didn't feel so bad because I thought, okay, I'll work on it next year. And then right before Escape from New York, the second to last film, they make the announcement, oh, by the way, this is the last marathon at the Drexel North. And I'm thinking, oh, crap. I can't believe I slept through like two films. Well, the horror marathon. I always go back to that. The last horror marathon at the Drexel North, 1994. I essentially stayed awake through my first horror marathon in 1993.
Yeah.
Granted, I went to the band contest, so that's about 2.5-3 hours.
Damn band contest.
The band contest. Now I'm like aging Charlton Heston. But I essentially stayed awake through that entire event, and it was great. The next year's, which had a slightly crappier lineup, I came back from the band contest, and I saw Pumpkinhead 2. Mm-hmm. I'm raising a cocked eyebrow or cocking an eyebrow to that, which was kind of fun, but it's a pretty shitty
movie.
Pumpkinhead
2.
But Scream Factory is doing a whole release of it, so
there's
an audience.
They're releasing everything. God bless Scream Factory.
Roger Clinton and Amy Dolenz, who had a budding career as a B-movie actress.
Right.
There
she was also in Mosquito, wasn't she?
I think she was, yeah. So Pumpkinhead 2, and then came quite possibly the most seminal film moment of my young life when they showed Dawn of the Dead. I'd never seen it before.
And that was the unannounced
showing
of Dawn of the Dead.
Except Jeff Burr blew the surprise right beforehand. Jeff Burr, the director of Pumpkinhead 2, in his post-screening Q&A is talking about independent films. And he's like, you know, independent horror films still have a place. I mean, Dawn of the Dead, the movie you're about to see next, you know, that was a huge independent film. And all of a sudden, half the crowd's like, ooh. And then part of the crowd is like, you spoiled it, you bastard. Yeah. What's that? So after Dawn of the Dead came Gary Jones's Mosquito, a.k.a. Night Swarm. And it's not that good of a film. It kind of stayed awake through part of it. Then came Haunted Symphony, which later became known as Hellfire, with Ben Cross and Beverly Garland. Kind of a crappy TV film, essentially. Yeah. And I started to crash big time at that point. And I'd had a long week and everything. Haunted Symphony knocked me out. I slept through Haunted Symphony. I slept through great portions of Vampire's Daughters of Dracula, Scars of Dracula, Spider Baby, It's Alive. And then finally I woke up from most of the fog, but I had never seen the fog. I kind of, you know, was in and out during that. But at the end of the marathon, I thought, I'll make it up next year. Well, guess what? The horror marathon got canceled like 3 months later. And when we had our first shock around the clock in 2009, I at that point, psychologically, I said, this is it. I'd done the 5 marathons studio, the 24-hour ones. But I had always thought that I needed to stay in the back during that.
Yeah.
Not your backdoor man, but just stay in the back and help organize things. I look back now and I probably could have gotten away with saying, I'm going to go in and watch most of the movies. Come get me if you need me. Because the theater ran itself. They didn't need me to look over anything. So once we did Shock Around the Clock, that 2009 one, I dedicated myself. I said, look, I'm going to sit through this. I'm going to do the hosting and you know, if other things need done, that's cool. But Bruce and I really wanted to just sit and enjoy the movies.
Yeah,
and the theater could take care of itself. It was fine. So for that first time, I remember thinking back to the 1994 horror marathon and thinking, okay, I'm going to sit through an entire goddamn horror marathon once and for all if it kills me.
Yeah.
That's kind of been my mindset every year now. I always have this weird thought in the back of my head, and no, this is not me trying to, like, subtly tease anything. It's just me. I always have this thought in the back of my head for the horror marathon that, oh, this might be the last one. This might be the last shot. Because I always have this weird fear that something will get messed up with horror. Because sci-fi has pretty much run no matter what ever since it started. But horror's had some ups and downs.
Yeah.
So that kind of motivates me for the most part. That being said, I slept through half of Cabin in the Woods last year because I was just so ambushed and destroyed.
Yeah. Well, that happens.
This year, depending on your definition, of what will keep you awake, I don't know. The last 3-4 films could be either easy or could be somewhat hard for you to stay awake during, but it's hard to put these lineups together.
No,
anyway.
It is tough. And I'll tell you, you know, not even knowing, I mean, of all of them, as cool as Texas Chainsaw, I did just recently see that particular version. So that would, and that does it. If you see a lineup, if I see the lineup and I've just recently seen 6 of the movies, it does bum me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's 2 or 3 in there that I've recently seen,
well,
that's good. You know, like at the sci-fi, I'd seen Dread just very recently.
Yeah.
And as cool as I'm sure it was with the crowd, I was just like, I will not make it through Escape from New York if I don't at least take a nap through Dread.
Here's something to consider, too. This is kind of our philosophy when we're programming these things. Yeah. Is we try to put an event together and a film lineup together that plays well, where the films play well off each other, mm-hmm. where it's not just here's 12 random films. You try to. Things always pop up. Situations happen. You know, but you can't always do that perfectly. But in terms of choosing, like, what plays first and what plays last, a lot of times the things we look for a film that plays first, like I said, Your Next will probably play first this year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll go even one step further. One of the big reasons to play Your Next first, I will confirm that unless something weird happens,
okay,
is, like you've said before, it's a film that people should see.
And a lot of the audience had.
Hopefully the crowd will, it'll be a good crowd reaction from them. But we want to play Nosferatu early too.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea was, okay, we'll play Nosferatu second.
Okay.
We'll play Your Next first, and then we'll bracket Nosferatu with something else on the other end that will hopefully keep people up. So that,
bring you up.
Yeah, so that Nosferatu, so that people appreciate it, and it's not like, oh, Nosferatu, it's a little slow, and we'll follow something that's slow or obtuse or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you try for the first film to get something that will get the audience into it, hopefully something that will get some of the energy out from them, hopefully. And in other cases, too, sometimes you're just left with saying, okay, we got to play this first, or this is the only place this fits. Last is a good question, because sometimes playing a film last, you think, okay, what would be a good closer? What would be something to send the crowd out on a high note? I was always taught years ago by someone else that if you can get like a 90-minute, hour and 40-minute film that'll get people off in good spirits at the end, do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a longer film. But then you also want to think, okay, what will play last? What will play well last to make sure the crowd wants to be there for it? Bruce notoriously back in 2002 played THX 1138 last.
Ooh.
And I joke with him about this.
That's not a good last movie.
Well, his reasoning, and I'd get this small bit of the reasoning, was the final image of THX, as most of you well know, is Robert Duvall emerging from the underground cave, and he's silhouetted against the sun setting, right? Or rising.
I can't remember.
I think it's the sun rising.
Okay.
And it's this great, glorious image of freedom. And Bruce thought, well, it's just like when you leave the marathon, you know? And I said, yeah, but then there's the preceding 89 minutes.
Yeah.
Which are, I love THX. It's a great film. And he and I joke around about that all the time. But it's, you want to have something that'll try to keep people in. Sometimes that's a more well-known title. Chainsaw Massacre closed my first ever horror marathon.
Yeah, I remember that close before.
And I think that's a pretty good closer. I wouldn't be shocked if it closed this one. If for no other reason this time, then other things play better at other times. That's the other thing you have to consider. Sometimes you think, okay, we want to play this in the first
half. But also it's wicked short, too. It's not.
It's like 83 minutes.
Yeah, it's not like a 110-minute movie.
Sometimes you look at these lineups and say, okay, we definitely want to play these 3 or 4 films in the first half when people are awake. And we can probably put these in the second half. But it's tough. It's very tough, and we just try to do the best we can.
But if you have to sleep, it's,
it
does not make you any less of a man or a woman to sleep.
Your masculinity / femininity is secure whether you sleep or not. And if you want to show up and watch 2 movies and sleep the rest and then get up and watch the last one and go home, you can do that too.
If you want a 40-minute nap, $40 nap, that's totally cool.
Pretty libertarian about these things. Hey, if the check cashes.
There you
go. We don't accept checks. Sorry.
No. PayPal.
If the PayPal clears, will you be my PayPal?
I think that's it. We're at the normal length now.
Yeah,
we're not at 2
I knew
hours
we could pad
yet.
Things
needed,
out somehow.
You needed to pad.
Well, well, this is the last time we'll talk before the event, and yeah. I know we'll probably talk afterwards and break it down.
Meet again.
Don't know where. Don't know when. Cue the bombs. That might be an ominous.
I did hear people say that that was an ominous final image to leave the marathon with.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't there for when that happened that year. I had left early. Shame on me. But that is, yeah, that was kind of an ominous image. My dream has always been to end a marathon with Beneath the Planet of the Apes. I think that would be the ultimate fuck you ending to a marathon.
No, you know it was a great. Were you even going at this point? There was one sci-fi marathon where they bookended it with the Body Snatchers. They had Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 1956.
My first ever marathon.
1978.
The best friend and I, the one who said, let's stay in the theater, he and I to this day, and we only talk maybe twice a year. He's in New York. Whenever we mention that marathon, that's the first thing we say is the image of Donald Sutherland at the end of Body Snatchers to end the marathon. That is the most powerful.
House lights come up. They're like, okay.
That is the most powerful moment to end a marathon I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen the film before either.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen the whole film. So I had no clue how everything wrapped up. And it was it blew you through the back of the seat. And you're just like, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, and one side note on that, because sometimes we'll get people who say things like 1 year at an all-nighter, we showed From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
And there was a mild uprising on the online forum saying, oh, well, play that last because I want to leave early. It's like, no, that's not the point. We want you to stay there.
Yeah.
We played it first and it played like gangbusters.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But sometimes things that play last, you would think, oh, I'm not going to stick around, but they play great. Equilibrium, the Christian Bale.
Oh, that's a terrible movie.
Was it?
Tay Diggs.
Christian Bale, Tay Diggs. Gun-fu epic.
Who follows me on Twitter?
Bro? Yeah. I remember this. Yeah. I think I called Tay Diggs out.
Yeah.
Equilibrium was a fantastic closer for that marathon. When it closed the marathon in Boston earlier that year, the crowd was bonkers for it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just a cheap, slightly dumb B-movie.
It's a shitty little B-movie.
But it plays so well at the end of a marathon because you don't have to think too much about it. Evil Dead 2 is a great marathon closer when it's done that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, too, there's like Candyman. We closed with that last year. Not a slam-bang action epic, but was very effective in that role.
Oh, yeah.
The year before, we closed with American Werewolf in London. What else did we close with in the Shocker on the Clock era? Oh, we closed the Carpenter films. Carpenter films have closed quite a few marathons now. Yeah. We've closed with The Thing. We've closed with Prince of Darkness. Yeah. We closed sci-fi with They Live and Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Which means John Carpenter has to show up next year, and he will close the marathon by
That's right. Rambling. He'll show vampires.
Yes!
You could start it off with like vampires and close with Ghosts of Mars.
I like Ghost of Mars.
John Carpenter classics.
I think Carpenter will, if we could ever get Carpenter, his caveat will be, that's me blowing cigarette smoke from like Carpenter would. I want you to show Memoirs of Carpenter will have a stroke all of a sudden.
I'd be like, well, that was a good idea until it lasted.
I want you to show Memoirs of an Invisible Man last.
That's a good movie.
And if you don't show that too much, I haven't seen it, actually.
It's a good movie.
You like Memoirs of an Invisible Man? That is one of his most derided films he's ever directed.
Here's why I think it didn't do well.
Wait, this is the sound effect of me closing the door as I'm leaving Kevin's place.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Memoirs of an Invisible Man. It starred Chevy Chase, and so they tried to make it too much of a comedy, but when they actually made the movie itself had some comedic moments, but it was essentially a straightforward Invisible Man movie. But they marketed it as a comedy. Every single comedic bit of that movie was thrown into the trailers. So what you ended up with is anyone who wanted to see a straightforward, good Invisible Man movie, which it was, I thought, people didn't go see it because it looked like it was going to be a goofy comedy. And the people who wanted the Chevy Chase goofy comedy went and saw it and it goes, this wasn't a comedy. Why did I go see it? It's the same reason why I think Phantom of the Opera was a Dwight Little's Phantom of the Opera. People who wanted to see Freddy Krueger as a Phantom didn't get it because he wasn't out there making wisecracks or whatever. And then the people who wanted to see a regular sort of modern version of Phantom of the Opera didn't go see it because they didn't want to see Freddy Krueger making cracks.
I can call you Eddie. Eddie, if you call me, you can call me Al. You can call me Al. That's my little Chevy Chase callback there because that's all I ever think of now when I think of Chevy Chase.
Okay.
I love Chevy Chase too. I I'm a huge, maybe not his leader.
I would support showing Memoirs of an Invisible
Man.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to see that. I might joke and I might knock on that, but it's one of the few Carpenters I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And it's never had like a real good revival on video.
Yeah.
That's because it didn't do well and nobody tends to like it.
No, but early Chevy Chase. We should do an entire podcast on Chevy Chase.
Okay.
We should call Chevy Chase and have him interview. Or we should interview Chevy Chase.
Give him a couple
we should
months.
Have Chevy Chase.
I'm sure he'll need the work.
The Ohio Science Fiction Marathon with special guest, Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase. What do you think about Community? Fuck you. And that's the end of the entire
He'll be incredibly... He'll have absolutely no sense of humor about himself. And this is an odd way to end the podcast. I feel like...
I think we can end it. I think we're running out of time.
Yeah, we are. And the light is starting to wane.
Now the sun is no longer coming in.
But hey, October 18th and 19th, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. All of you out there in Magic Internet Radio Land, I'm hoping we'll be there because there is nothing more Kevin and I would like to do than to see all of you finally and have you look at us and say, when are you going to stop talking so much? I just want like 45 minutes of a podcast.
And vote for
me. Do you think you're like famous or something? Or
Facebook.
Jesus Christ.
For the costume.
Yeah, but please show up, buy tickets, buy concessions, have a fun time. It is, as one of our loyal attendees put it, it's his Christmas. Aww. And I've always loved that, and it's a lot of fun. One day out of
so
the year
sweet.
When you just get to completely revel in horror film mania.
I guess that's it. We will see you guys at the marathon.
See you then.